Foucault and Derrida on the End of Man. In his Introduction to the Archaeology of Knowledge, Foucault speaks at one point in the first person, speaking autobiographically about his motivations for writing. Foucault speaks of his desire to erase himself. Quote, "I can lose myself and appear at last to eyes that I will never have to meet again. I am no doubt not the only one who writes in order to have no face." Unquote. Foucault extends his desire for effacement to the entire human species. At the end of The Order of Things, for example, he speaks almost longingly about the coming erasure of mankind. Man is, quote, "an invention of recent date that will soon be erased like a face drawn in sand at the edge of the sea." Unquote. "God is dead," wrote Hegel and Nietzsche. "Man, too, will be dead," Foucault hopes. Derrida, too, recognizes the kind of world that postmodernism is bringing about and declares his intention not to be among those who let their queasiness get the better of them. "Postmodernists," he writes, "are those who do not, quote, turn their eyes away when faced by the as-yet unnameable which is proclaiming itself, and which can do so, as is necessary whenever a birth is in the offing, only under the species of the non-species, in the formless, mute, infant, and terrifying form of monstrosity." Unquote. The bringing forth of monsters is one postmodern view of the creative process, one that heralds the end of mankind. Other postmodernists stress the ugliness of postmodern creation, at the same time suggesting that mankind is simply beside the point. Kate Ellis notes, for example, quote, "The characteristically apolitical pessimism of most postmodernism, by which creation is simply a form of defecation," unquote. Monsters and waste products were core themes in the world of art in the 20th century, and there is an instructive parallel between developments in the world of art in the first half of the century and developments in the rest of the humanities in the second half of the century. With Marcel Duchamp, the world of art got to postmodernism before the rest of the intellectual world. Asked to submit something for display by the Society of Independent Artists in New York, Duchamp sent a urinal. Duchamp, of course, knew the history of art. He knew what had been achieved, how over the centuries art had been a powerful vehicle that called upon the highest development of the human creative vision and demanded exacting technical skill. And he knew that art had an awesome power to exalt the senses, the intellects, and the passions of those who experience it. Duchamp reflected on the history of art and decided to make a statement. The artist is not a great creator. Duchamp went shopping at a plumbing store. The artwork is not a special object. It was mass-produced in a factory. The experience of art is not exciting and ennobling. At best, it is puzzling and mostly leaves one with a sense of distaste. But over and above that, Duchamp did not select just any ready-made object to display. In selecting the urinal, his message was clear. Art is something you piss on. Dada's themes are about meaningless, but its works and manifestos are meaningful philosophical statements in the context in which they are presented. Kunst ist scheiße, art is shit, was, fittingly, the motto of the Dada movement. Duchamp's urinal was the fitting symbol. Everything is waste to be flushed away. On this hypothesis, then, postmodernism is a generalization on Dada's nihilism. Not only is art shit, everything is. Postmodern thinkers inherit an intellectual tradition that has seen the defeat of all of its major hopes. The counter-Enlightenment was from the beginning suspicious of the Enlightenment's naturalism, its reason, its optimistic view of human potential, its individualism in ethics and politics, and its science and technology. For those opposed to the Enlightenment, the modern world has offered no comfort. The advocates of the Enlightenment said that science was to be the replacement for religion, but science has offered the specters of entropy and relativity. Science was to be the glory of mankind, but it has taught us that man evolved, red in tooth and claw, from the ooze. Science was to make the world a technological paradise, but it has generated nuclear bombs and super bacilli. And the confidence in the power of reason that underlies it all has, from the postmodernist's perspective, been revealed to be a fraud. The thought of nuclear weapons in the hands of an irrational grasping animal is frightening. While the Neo-Enlightenment thinkers have come to terms with the modern world, from the postmodern perspective, the universe has been metaphysically and epistemologically shattered. We cannot turn to God or to nature, and we cannot trust reason or mankind. But there was always socialism. As bad as the philosophical universe became in metaphysics, epistemology, and the study of human nature, there was still the vision of an ethical and political order that would transcend everything and create the beautiful collectivist society. The failure of left politics to achieve that vision was merely the last straw. To the postmodern mind, the cruel lessons of the modern world are that reality is inaccessible, that nothing can be known, that human potential is nothing, and that ethical and political ideals have come to nothing. The psychological response to the loss of everything is anger and despair. But the postmodern thinkers also find themselves surrounded by an Enlightenment world that does not understand. The postmodernists find themselves confronting a world dominated by liberalism and capitalism, by science and technology, by people who still believe in reality, in reason, and in the greatness of human potential. The world that they said was impossible and destructive has both come to be and is flourishing. The heirs of the Enlightenment are running the world, and they have marginalized the postmodernists to the academy. Ressentiment is then added to anger and despair. Some retreat into quietism, and some retreat to a private world of aesthetic play and self-creation. Others, however, lash out with the intent to destroy. But again, postmodernism's only weapons are words.